believe I do. Yep, praise the Lord, I'm on tonight. Well, if you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Turn to someone, give them a handshake or a hug, and you can be seated. Praise God. Whichever is appropriate. Amen. I told Gene, I said, I hope he doesn't build me up too much. I don't want anybody to be disappointed, you know. Hey, thanks for coming out tonight. Wow, what a blessing, your newly renovated facilities there, your children's area, this wonderful sanctuary. Just, it's great to see the progression that's happening. Amen. Hey, we've got a book table back there. First of all, we appreciate your pastors. They have been dear friends of ours for a long time. We love them. I'm going to see if I can stop that little bit of boom there. And, you know, great people. What you see is what you get. Don't you like that?
Yes.
You know, I'm not much for pretense. I just like people to be genuine and be sincere, and they are. And you're blessed to have them. They're blessed to have you. And you got a good thing going on here. Amen. We've brought a couple of things with us. This is called A Simple Guide to Faith. You know, of course, traveling with Kenneth E. Hagin for 11 years, following his ministry for 30, you learn a little something, you know, and then from life's experience also. So the Bible says, of course, that we live by faith, we walk by faith, we fight the good fight of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So, so if those things are true, then quite naturally, it would be to our benefit to know something about it, right? So we just give you a capsulized teaching on the subject of faith and how to actualize that. Then if you can't be here now, we're going to end with a bang in the morning. I'm already getting happy. We're going to end at a bang in the morning. Now, if you can't be here, you need to get this CD called Joy for the Journey. It'll be a different message, but probably around the same flow. And Brother Hagin had me minister one evening at Scott Webb's church when we were in a Holy Ghost meeting. And boy, we had a time. There's a DVD. Got some great music back then. If you haven't gotten a copy of this in his presence for your prayer time, your Bible study, I know they use it here. You'd be blessed to have it. You know, I use it, and I made it, and I still use it. Play it in my truck and enjoy it. So if you're a digital person, you can go and get this bookmark. It's free. Put it in your Bible. Pray for us. And then we have a digital bookstore if you'd like to download, okay? So all that's there. All right. How many of you have your Bibles? Wave them. Make the devil mad. You know, I really intended to go a completely different direction tonight. But about, I don't know, I guess it was 45 minutes or so before the service, I just felt a strong direction and pull in another way. And sometimes that happens because, you know, people have different needs and you might pick up in certain way. You think, well, I'll go that way. And then you're led in a different direction. So we're going in a different direction. Last night, you know, we said to you that many times when you teach the Word of God, that you're teaching for the general edification of every person there. The Word of God is good. You teach principles. You teach different subjects, and people are blessed by it. Then other times, you are specifically led, and there is a prophetic flow to your teaching. You know, it seems that way with me. So last night, we had a definite direction. And we talked to you about, you know, things were turning around in your life and what the things that perhaps you've been experiencing of late. And we spoke that to you by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Well, tonight I have another thing I need to share with you. And once again, it will pertain specifically to some and generally to others. But it will also have application corporately as well as personally. So if you need it, you take it. If you don't, celebrate and rejoice with those who do. But it's, once again, good principles. All right? So we'll go from there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and they'll have the scriptures for you. You know, God told the prophet Jeremiah. He said, before you were formed in the womb or in the belly, I knew thee. Before you were brought forth, I ordained you or sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Isn't that amazing? Before Jeremiah was ever conceived in his mother's womb, before she ever gave him a name, God knew him and had a plan for his life. How many of you know that before you and I were conceived in our mother's womb, Before she ever gave us a name, God knew us and had a plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, of course, we understand the context of this verse. This is written to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, who at that time were in Babylonian captivity. But these words were, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." One translation says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." Another version says, "I alone know my purpose for you, says the Lord. It is your welfare that I have in mind, not your undoing." So praise God, you know, from a natural perspective, we understand this was written to the children of Israel, but if he had plans and purposes for his servants, how much more for his sons and daughters? And when this was written, of course, they were in Babylonian captivity, and by all outward circumstances and observances, their hopes, their dreams as a nation, the things that God had declared over them, from an outward perspective, seemed lost. It seemed as though it would never come to pass. But it was in that place that God said, "Listen, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten the words that I have declared over you. I have not forgotten the plans I have for you. I have not forgotten the dreams that I have placed on the inside of you, and they will come to pass." Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul echoes this theme where he said, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." One translation, the Amplified, I think it says, "Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Isn't that awesome? So simply, the point is, friends, our lives are not left to chance. When we are in Christ, there is a plan, there is a purpose, there is a path, there is a destiny. You know, just my personal life, I was raised Southern Baptist. I was born again when I was 7 years old. When I turned 18 years old, as I told you last night, I went to a Catholic Bible study. And I came out baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. This was the charismatic renewal here in America and a lot of the Catholic churches. As a matter of fact, 36% of all Catholics in America, according to the Barna Research, are not only born again, but also have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, beautiful. So I was there, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that Bible study, and simultaneously there was a gentleman there who had just graduated from Oral Roberts University, who was hosting that home meeting. And so all of a sudden he said, "If you'd like to receive the baptism, come up." Well, I was a hungry 18-year-old Baptist boy, went up. And he laid hands on me. And when he did, I was baptized with the Spirit, but he simultaneously had a vision. And he said, "I see a globe." And he said, "On this globe are red dots, or lights." And he said, and I wrote it all down afterwards, he said, "and they're all in an association of some sort." And he said, "You're going to travel from place to place, church to church, teaching, you know, and ministering both the Word and the Spirit." And so, you know, I just put that on a shelf, wrote it on a 3x5 card, and just put it in a file. Well, 11 years later, I end up at Rhema Bible Training Center, 1991. I'd been in the Ministry of Helps and serving part-time 7 years in local churches, and then I worked full-time from 88 to 91 when I went out to Rhema. And then, so 91, 92, they complete what we call the Rhema Bible Church Auditorium out there in Tulsa. So we all went over as a local church to dedicate the building, much like you did tonight. Well, when we got in the new auditorium, we were all sitting there. All of a sudden, this huge, massive globe comes down out of the ceiling. It starts rotating, and there are red lights all over it. representing the schools, the churches, the ministries, the missionaries around the world. And at that moment, the Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that's what that gentleman saw 11 years ago. These are the places you'll go. So, you know, 22 years later now, we've been doing that. Going to these churches, going to these Bible schools, going around the world teaching and encouraging and lifting up with the Word and the Spirit, right? And the beat goes on. Excuse me. Let me try this out. My mute worked. Hey, can save you some editing. So we said all that to say, There is a plan. Everybody say, there is a plan.
There is a plan.
Now, we understand that one cannot claim by faith something that has not been apportioned to him from heaven. In John 3:27, what does the Bible say? John the Baptist said, no man can receive anything except it be given to him from above. So that simply means, in one sense of the word, I can't claim something, you can't claim something that hasn't already been apportioned to us from heaven. Now we understand our covenant rights and the things that Christ has purchased for us, those things belong to us and we have a right to them, we understand that. But let's just say ministerially or where your destiny is concerned, there's a specific path, there's a specific plan. Now personally, let's just say where my ministry is concerned. Of the scope of our ministry, the influence of our ministry. In one sense of the word, that is predetermined. So I don't compare myself with other people. I realize I can't claim by faith something that has not been apportioned to me from above. But on the other hand, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So what does that mean to me? That means to me and to you that although I cannot claim by faith something that has not already been apportioned to me from heaven, what has been revealed to me, whether through revelation of the Word or revelation of the Holy Spirit, concerning, yes, the promises and the covenant that we have, but also that which has been revealed to me concerning our destiny, our purpose in life, if it has been revealed to you, then it belongs to you and you have a right to receive it. Does that make sense? Excuse me. It's not contagious. It's probably these lattes I'm eating, drinking in the morning. So, what's been revealed to you by the Spirit, you have a right to receive it. Can you say amen? So, what I want to encourage you tonight, some of you, And I mean personally and corporately, I want to encourage you by the Holy Spirit to hold on to your dreams. Perhaps some things that you've had in your spirit for a long time and you've yet to see them come to fruition. Or perhaps some things that you know the Lord has revealed to you and yet you haven't seen the manifestation of them. Or things pertaining to your destiny, whether it be personally or in other ways. Hold on to your dreams tonight. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. Amen. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You know, as we look, excuse me, guys, I'm going to get. As we look in the Old Testament, don't let it distract you, I'll try not to let it. As we look in the Old Testament, you know, we can see certain characteristics and traits that were qualities of these Old Testament saints that seemed to enable them to possess their destinies, acquire the things that God had put in their path. And one of those is found in Hebrews 6:12-15, if you'll look there with me. Hebrews 6:12-15. You know these scriptures, but let's rehearse them tonight. Be ye not slothful, but followers of them, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, everybody say patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, in apprehending the plans and the purposes of God, it's not always how fast you can run. The question is, can you stick with it? And if you will, you will apprehend that which God has apprehended you for. Of course, we understand we have to abide in the Word, follow the leading of the Spirit, and so forth. But tonight we're just talking about holding on to your dreams. The reality is most dreams take time to come to fruition, don't they? Look in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And let's look in verse 1 through 4. Of course, Abraham receives a promise from God. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said unto Abram, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So, man, he's excited. God has given him a commission, a dream, something placed in his spirit, told him what was going to occur, made a promise. And man, he's 75 years old, and he starts out with all excitement and zeal. Praise God. You know, I know this is what the Lord has said. We're going to pursue it with all diligence. And then something very unexpected occurred. 10 years passed, and no son. And it was at this place that Abraham faced what I call one of Satan's dream killers. And that is unfulfilled expectation. Unfulfilled expectation. And what I mean by that is sometimes we have expectations based upon our human wisdom, our human insight, our human timetables. And when things don't align themselves with those preconceptions, we can become disillusioned, disappointed, frustrated. I'm just not where I thought I would be by now. Abraham was there. And man, he talked to God about it. Have you ever found yourself talking to God about something as if he didn't know? I have. But now look in Genesis 15, 2 through 4. Man, he's frustrated. People think Abraham just had it all, you know, just perfect faith all the way through. Not so. Now, he ended up in the right place, and he stayed steady. He had his moments, and you might have had your moments like this one. Look, Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? He said, I don't even have a son, and everything I've obtained and you've blessed me with is going to go to someone that's not even my seed. Abraham said, behold, you've given me no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. So he's facing one of Satan's dream killers at the moment, unfulfilled expectation. But I want you to notice God's response, Genesis 15, 4 through 6. Genesis 15, 4 through 6. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward the heaven. Tell the stars if you're able to number them. He said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So God said, hey, Abraham, listen, I know you're facing an unfulfilled expectation of them at the moment, but come out here, let me show you something. Lift up your eyes. You see those stars? Yes, sir. That's how vast your seed will be. See, sometimes, friends, I love this verse in Genesis chapter 13. You remember when Lot and Abram were separating? I want you to notice what the scripture says here in Genesis 13, beginning in verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, look up now, or lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where you art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed afterwards. He said, look, I know you're experiencing an unfulfilled expectation of the moment, but I want you to lift up your eyes. He told Abram there when they departed, he said, hey, you've got to lift up your eyes from where you are and look to where you're going. So many people are consumed about where they are instead of lifting up their eyes from where they are and looking to where they're going and keep moving forward. Don't be so consumed with where you are. Remember where God has decreed you're going. Are you listening? Keep believing. Hold on to what He's placed into your heart. We say sometimes, you know, when the days and the weeks and the months and the years pass and we don't see a fulfillment of certain things, we can begin to question their reality. Abraham was there. Satan will attempt to sabotage your sense of confidence. But you have to maintain a steady gaze. Once again, lift up your eyes and keep moving. And you know, don't fall into the trap that Abraham fell into. Once again, sometimes when things don't seem to be moving in correspondence with our preconceived ideas, we try to manipulate things in the flesh and make things happen, and then you get in a mess. Are you listening? Wait on God. Wait on His timing. Stay steady. Be prayerful. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Amen? And it will all come to pass. So, he's 86 years old. He's got a, you know, he's tried this alternative, and now he's got a son, Ishmael. But it's not the seed of promise. And then guess what happens? 13 more years pass. 13 more. 24 altogether. He is 99 years old. No son. And once again, man, he's like, dear Lord. He went back to God about it. He did, yeah. Sure did. Look here. Genesis 17, 1 through 2, he's, you know, he's 99 years old. He begins to face these two other dream killers. You've got unfulfilled expectation. Then you've got several others, unrelenting doubts, seemingly unchangeable circumstances, right? Now, God will encourage you along the way. He encouraged Abraham here, Genesis 17, 1 through 2. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. I will make thy covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So, you know, isn't God good? Like tonight, He will encourage you. He will say, hey, it's all under control. Stay steady. Keep moving. Contend for the vision. Stay faithful. We're working on it. Right? On the other hand, Satan's going to constantly try to bombard your mind with doubt, with unbelief, with discouragement, attempting to undermine your sense of confidence so that you stop pursuing the dream that God's placed on the inside of you or the purpose that He has for your life. As I said to you, Abraham had those moments. Look here, Genesis 17 now, verses 17 through 18. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed. And it wasn't a laugh of faith now. This was not a laugh of faith. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that's 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Can't we just take this alternative route? God said, no. And then look here, Genesis 18, 11 through 12. Sarah faced the same doubts. 11 and 12, Genesis 18, Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with her after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Both of them, man. I mean, you know, after 24 years, I thought you said, God said we're going to have a son and be a father of many nations, and through us all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And it's been 24 years. Are you kidding me? You know, hey, there's things in my spirit that I've had received revelation of that have yet to come to pass. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, man, you know, like we said last night, if you plan on doing something, now would be a marvelous time. You know what I mean? But listen, watch God's response. Genesis 18, 13 through 14. And the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which when I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And what's the answer to that? No. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Do you know God doesn't change his mind about what he's commissioned us to do or the purpose that he has for us to fulfill, even if the road gets a little long and things seem to take a little longer than we anticipated they would? He knew the end from the beginning. He knows the A to the Z. We just have to stay steady, right? And listen, you know, don't count yourself out just because you've had moments when doubts were screaming in your head. We just saw Abraham and Sarah had their moments. But they always rose above those and came back to the final word. I've had my moments through the years. I thought you said so. And then I always come back to my final resolve. You know what? I believe God. I believe God. And it will all come to pass. Everybody say, it will come to pass. So you know what's important is your last word tonight. What's going to be your final resolution? I pray it'll be the same as Abraham's and Sarah's. Let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. I believe you. And you know God's testimony, even though they had those moments, you'll remember his testimony about Abraham in Romans 4, I think it's beginning in verse 17, where he said, who against hope, or 18, who against hope believed in hope that he should become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, right? And being not weak in faith, really? See what I'm saying? You might face those, Brother Hagin used to say all the time, you can have a doubt in your head and still have faith in your heart. They had those moments where the doubts were screaming, these seemingly impossible situations, but being not weak in faith, they always came back to their final resolve. Being not weak in faith, they considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Don't you love that? So what are you saying to us, Brother Marty? I'm not saying anything. The Holy Ghost is saying, keep dreaming. Keep believing. Keep walking toward what God has put in your spirit or that which you have laid hold of with your faith based upon the promises of His Word. Right? Keep walking toward that and don't quit. You're coming into a new season. Trust God's process. Everybody say, trust God's process. God knows what He's doing, friends. And everything will be right on time. Sometimes He's got to get all the ducks in a row. He's got to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and get your divine connections all set up. And then boom, all of a sudden things happen. It's called the set time. Everybody say, set time. Genesis 21, 1 through 5, you remember the scripture. The Lord visited Sarah as he said he would, and did unto Sarah as he had spoken, Genesis 21, 1 through 5. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the what? The set time of which God had spoken to him. Man, 25 years. But it was the set time. Abraham called the name of his son Isaac. that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. That's something, isn't it? 25 years. There was a plan. There is a plan. There is a purpose. But sometimes things take a little longer, you know, than we anticipated. And sometimes we take detours, we make some mistakes, but hey, how many of you know? And I'll use this example, you know. I've got a GPS in my car. Now I use maps on my phone. But you know, the GPS system, you know, when you get into a place and you get in your car, it pinpoints your place of origin, then you put in your destination, and then all it begins to calculate a route, right? And then all of a sudden this little woman will come on. Most often it's a lady's voice because they're better with directions. And she'll say, hey, you know, she'll say 1.2 miles turn right, 3.4 miles turn left, you know, hit the motorway, whatever it is. And so she'll give you the directions. Well, sometimes, you know, in large cities you take wrong turns. Or you miss your turn because of traffic. And she'll say the most interesting thing. She'll say, you have missed your turn. Well, I knew that. How many ever missed a turn? But then she'll say the most interesting thing. She'll say, one moment, please, recalculating. And she'll calculate another route to get you an alternative route, to get you back on the original route so you can come to your destination. That's kind of what happened with Abraham. He took a wrong turn. But, you know, we may have made mistakes, taken some wrong turns, had some unfortunate situations along the road, but that don't count yourself out. Because the Holy Ghost will say, one moment, please, recalculating. Get you right back home. Your end can be better than your beginning. Are you listening to me? So, where was I? Anyway, staying steady. You know, staying patient, enduring. Being patient, being prayerful, follow the leading of the Spirit, working diligently, and what He's put in your heart, it'll come to pass. Rest in that. I think about Joseph, Genesis chapter 37, you know. He was 17 years old when he had a dream. You remember? And he was so excited, you know, a lot of excitement, no wisdom. And he went out and he told his brothers, he said, hey, guys, I had a dream. We were all out in the field gathering sheaves of wheat. My sheaves stood upright, and all of you guys, your sheaves bowed down before mine. Isn't that awesome? They weren't real excited. Then he came with another dream. He said, you know, here's another one. Oh, here comes the dreamer. Hey, guys, guess what? I had a dream. I saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. That's mom, dad, and you guys bow down before me. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes you just need to ponder things in your heart. Everybody might not be as excited as you are about your vision. They got so happy for him that they, you know, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. I tell people this because it is a reality. Sometimes the passage to purpose is not always glamorous. But if you will stick with God and stay true and stay with His Word, He'll be faithful to that Word. Are you listening? So he's thrown into that pit, man. He ends up down in Egypt. And he ends up in a man's house named Potiphar. And of course, you know, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. And so the blessing of the Lord comes on him. And man, he's put in charge of all of Potiphar's house. It looks like everything, hey, this dream's coming to pass. Praise God. We're moving in the right direction. Things are good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife got her eye on him and attempted to seduce him. He was a man of integrity, resisted her advances, of course. Well, her pride is all out of whack over it. So she lies about it to her husband. Of course, he believes her. And so he throws Joseph back into the pit he got out of. You know, and sometimes you find yourself in life where, man, you're making tremendous progress, and it feels like you've made, you know, three steps forward, and then boom, five steps backward. Somebody pulled the rug out from under you, and your feet's where your head was just a few minutes earlier. That's not the time to get discouraged. Throw in the towel. Say, well, I was trying to fulfill what God told me to. Well, he was too. And he found himself in a difficult place. But you know, I always tell people, the cream will always rise to the top. Never bet against a word woman or a word man, because you'll lose every time. If you and I will stick with the Word of God, that Word of God will uphold us. We just have to stay steady in those times where it seems like we've had some setbacks. As you've heard the phrase coined, it's probably just a setup. Are you listening? So here he is now. He's down in the prison. Thought things were going great, and all of a sudden, he's had a seeming setback. And in the course of the experience there, of course, the baker and the butler displease Pharaoh. They're thrown into the same prison, right? And what happens? They have a dream, each of them. They can't interpret. Joseph, praise God, is gifted in that arena by God, and he's able to interpret the dream. And he said to the baker, or to the butler, he said, sir, you will be reinstated to your position with the Pharaoh. And he said, Mr. Baker, I'm sorry, it's curtains for you. And that's exactly how it happened. So the butler was reinstated, and he said, hey, when you go back up, will you remember me to Pharaoh? And he said, sure. You ever had anybody tell you that? Don't do a thing about it. Oh, mercy. But anyway, so he forgets. Guess what? 2 years pass. He's in that prison. 2 years. Seemingly, nothing's happening. There's no progression, seemingly, in the direction of fulfillment. But what Joseph doesn't know is that all the while, behind the scenes, God is working mightily, setting up a divine appointment, a set time, a set season. And of course, in the process of time, Pharaoh has a dream. He's unable to interpret the dream. And so the butler remembers. He said, oh my goodness, I forgot. There's a guy down in the prison. And he interpreted our dreams. And so they brought him forth. You know the story. And he began to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Now, as we said to you, he was in that prison 2 years, right? Seemingly nothing's happening, because this just came up. And sometimes you're in what we call a holding pattern. Are you listening? You know, you have holding patterns and flight patterns. When it's not quite ready for landing, they'll put you in a holding pattern. And you just stay in that holding pattern until the set time. Then they give you clearance. Well, sometimes in the apprehension of your dreams and your divine destinies and your purposes, you're doing everything you know to do, you're being diligent, and it doesn't seem like you're making much progression. But what you don't realize is you're just in a holding pattern. And if you'll just stay steady, the Holy Ghost will say at some point, all right, cleared for landing, right? So they came and got him out. And he went up into Pharaoh, and of course, you remember the dream, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He said, store up in the time of plenty, so you'll have in the time of famine. And he said, if I were you, Mr. Pharaoh, I would put someone very wise over these affairs. And of course, Pharaoh said, well, you're obviously the wisest man in the land. How about you? Right? So here he is now at age 30, 13 years after he had the dream. He's gone, you know, from the pit to the palace. Praise God. And he's in his place of destiny. The point being, sometimes things take time. Everybody say that. Sometimes. Things take time. What am I going to do? Stay steady, stay diligent, stay committed, listen to the Holy Ghost, work diligently, be faithful, right? Yes. And then I expect what God's put in my heart, or that which I've laid hold of by faith on the basis of His Word, to come into manifestation. So Joseph, then you got David, of course. He was, I think they tell us he was around 15 years old. 1 Samuel chapter 16, when he was anointed to be king. But he actually didn't take the throne till he was 30. Samuel tells us. So, you know, you're looking at 15 years there. Then you got Paul. Paul was, of course, converted on the road to Damascus. And at that time, Jesus told him, he said, hey, you're going to bear my name before kings and the Jews and the Gentiles. Woohoo! But theologians tell us it was some 14 to 20 years later before he ever took his first missionary journey. Right? So what are we going to do, Brother Marty? We're going to watch out for dream killers, unfulfilled expectations, unrelenting doubts, seemingly unchangeable circumstances. We're going to trust God's process, even when it seems like it's taken a long time. Would you say that? Trust God's process. You know, diamonds, pearls, butterflies, they all reach their place of beauty and perfection through time and pressure. Did you notice that? So we're going to trust God's process, even if it seems like it's taken a long time. We're going to number two, trust God's purpose. Trust His purpose, even when you don't understand it all. Just do what He says to do. God didn't give Abraham a map, right? He just said, get up every day and follow me. And if you will, your dreams will live. My plan, my purpose for your life will be fulfilled. You'll be blessed. Your family will be blessed. And the people you come in contact with, as Brother Hay would say, will be blessed. Trust His process. Trust His purpose. Number three, trust His promise. Everybody say, trust His promise. It'll all come to pass. Who are you talking to? I don't know. I'm talking to someone. And I think also where this destiny of this church is concerned. Because, you know, God planted you here. Some people, you know, we say some people are sent, others just went. They were sent. And if you're a part of the church, you've been sent, right? And God has a wonderful plan here. You know, it wasn't too long ago, and I may have shared this with you, but, you know, the word of the Lord came to me, and He speaks to me in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And He said to me, He said, this is, and this was to me, but then I'll show the relevance. He said, this is the time and season in which your dreams shall be fully realized and my promises to you fulfilled. For as it is written, the vision is yet for an appointed time. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things shall surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Now let me rehearse that again. This is the time and season in which your dreams shall be fully realized and my promises to you fulfilled. For as it is written, the vision is yet for an appointed time. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things shall surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Well, I got happy about that. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Then all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me further saying, these words are not just for you, but they are for others too. For this is a time and season of plans and purposes and dreams coming true. A restoration of that which the thief has stolen. An outpouring of divine provision from on high for the purpose of consummating and completing divine assignments. For the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. So rejoice in this season, He said, and lift your voice and say, it will all come to pass. God has spoken and it shall be. Are you listening? So, what did the Holy Ghost say? He said, well, it's not just for me, but it's for others too. This is a time of plans, once again, purposes and dreams coming true. A season of restoration. Anybody had anything stolen? A season of restoration. Maybe you've had time stolen. You know, maybe you've had other areas where the thief has gotten in. This is a season of restoration of that which the thief has stolen, an outpouring of divine provision from on high for the purpose of consummating and completing divine assignments, for the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. So then he said once again, rejoice in this season. Lift your voice and decree. It will all come to pass. Everybody say, it will all come to pass. God has spoken, and it shall be. And I'm agreeing with him. Everything that God has purposed concerning this church and its influence in the community and its divine commission, whether it be in the city, the state, or the world, it will all come to pass. Your personal dreams and the things that God has placed on the inside of you, once again, we believe in Jesus' name, it'll all come to pass. What's my part? Well, one thing I want you to do is I want you to maintain an expectation. Right? If you have no expectation, you're not motivated in any direction. Right? So we want to maintain our expectation this year. Be determined. Be steadfast. Be confident that what God has placed in your heart, personally or corporately, He is well able to bring it to pass. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and shall he not make it good? Ooh, I like that. I want you to look in 1 Kings, and we're closing with this. 1 Kings chapter 18. This is for you tonight. Take it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, there's been a drought 3.5 years. Man, it just seems like 3.5 years, no change, no progression. You know, let's just say it's been the same climate. Then all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes. And say, hey, there's a change of seasons. I'm going to send rain. Well, Elijah, in expectation of the fulfillment of that word, began to do something. Look in verse 41 through 43. Let's look there together. Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up on top of Mount Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And then notice what he did. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So, in a spirit of expectation, Elijah sent his servant up on that mountain to look for the rain. And 6 times he came back and he said, sir, I know you said this is the word of the Lord. It's all coming to pass. It's a change of seasons, so forth, or the rain's coming. But I don't see anything. But you see, a spirit of expectation says, perhaps I don't see it at the moment, but I know it is on the way. And what I am expecting, I am looking for, I am working toward, and I'm making preparation for. You see, we're not idle. What I am expecting, I'm looking for, I'm working toward, I'm making preparation for. Noah built an ark on dry ground when the sun was still shining. He built that ark, he loaded the animals onto it, he climbed in, he shut the door, all while the sun was still shining. No outward evidence of what God had spoken. But that is a spirit of expectation. Can you say amen? And that expectation motivated Noah in his preparation. And the same way Elijah, He sent his servant up on that mountain. And I love this story. He continued to look for that rain and he would not take no for an answer. When you know God's placed something in your spirit, you know, sometimes after the years have passed, you just kind of let it go. Pick it up! Don't take no for an answer. God wants to bring it to pass in our lives. So he sent his servant up, and you know the story. Verse 44 and 45, it came to pass at the seventh time that the servant said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meantime that while the heaven was black with clouds and wind, that there was a great rain, and Ahab robed and went to Jezreel. And of course, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he outran the chariots all the way back to Jezreel. But I love this story. Six times, you know, he came back and he said, "Nothing, nothing, 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 nothing." Right? But a spirit of expectation does what? It says, perhaps I don't see it at the moment, but I know it's on the way. Let's keep looking. Let's keep working. Let's keep being diligent. Right? Let's be prayerful. Let's be patient. Let's follow the Holy Ghost. Yes. And then finally, on the seventh time, everybody say the seventh time. Woo! What I love is six times, nothing, 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 suddenly. I love that. I've had some of those suddenlies. Looks like nothing's happened. You're diligent. You've been making preparation. Then boom, all of a sudden, man, the set time. Woo, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
I think we're going to have some suddenlies around here. In the coming year. Personally and corporately. Hold on to your expectations, friends. Hold on to your dreams, your destinies, that which you've laid hold of with your faith based upon the promises of God. And if you will, I believe the day will come just like it did for Noah and Elijah, that the rain will begin to fall, the water will begin to flow, and that which you have made preparation for and worked toward will come into fruition. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What is the Holy Spirit saying tonight? Very simply, they changed my whole direction 30 minutes before we got here. It's coming to pass. And I don't know what that may mean to some of you, but I'm just putting it out there. And I believe it has personal and corporate significance. You know, you guys have been faithful here for many years. And I believe you're making some preparation for things to come. Right? So it's coming to pass. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's coming to pass. Tell your other neighbor it's coming to pass. Praise God. Listen, I know that's a simple message. I had something I really wanted to do. But you know what you want to do and what he wants to do may be two different things, right? Be encouraged. Don't forget everything the Holy Ghost is saying in these meetings. If you were in last night's meeting, when you get up and go to bed tonight and get up tomorrow, what are you going to do? Thank you, Lord. It's turning around. And then also I want you to add to that, it's coming to pass, Lord. Your divine purposes, your destiny for our lives personally, corporately, everything that you've intended is going to all come to pass. Get on God's side and start decreeing that. And then simultaneously, quite naturally, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because they do work in conjunction. Faith and the Holy Ghost always are partners. My expectation must be accompanied by a listening ear, a listening heart, following directions, and of course, being diligent in what I'm told to do, right? And then I can expect God to do His part when I do mine, because there's always the human and the divine, the Godward and the manward, working together to bring these things into fruition. All right, everybody, stand up tonight. Now listen, come on back here in the morning. Don't miss tomorrow morning. You'll miss half your life. We're going to have a time in here. Amen. But I'm going to sing you a song. Where's that microphone? Where is it? It's underneath the chair there. Thank you. Let me switch over. And it's Earl. Earl. Now make sure you give me some reverb. I said, give me reverb because it covers the multitude of sin.
All right, crank. Give me just a little bit more of this mic. All right, now y'all going to sing with us. And I've got a track up there. We're going to declare this thing. Right? And so you'll catch on. All right, give me some reverb now. Like you do on Ian's mic. Yeah. All right, now crank her up, bro. Hey. Come on. Give me some more track. Woo! I said it's coming to pass. Everything the Lord has spoken is coming to pass. Woo! I know it.
It's coming to pass.
They got words for you.
It's coming to pass. Everything that he said, every way I've been led, you know it's coming to pass.
Sing that.
It's coming to pass. I know it's coming to pass. Everything that he said, every way you've been led, I know it's coming to pass.
God's not a man
that he should lie.
Come on.
He is the way, the truth, and life. And if he said it would be, then it is something I'll see. I know it's coming to pass.
Everybody sing.
It's coming to pass. I believe it's coming to pass.
Hey!
Well, everything that he said, every way I've been led, let me tell you it's coming to pass.
Woo!
God's not a man that he should lie.
No answer.
He is the way, the truth, the life. And if he said it would be, then it is something I'll see. I'm telling you it's coming to pass.
Well, somebody ought to shout a little bit. We ought to get a little bit happy about it. Been taking some time, but it's coming to pass. Oh, yeah, it's a good season. Woo! Hey, yeah,
it's coming to pass. I know it's coming to pass. Everything that is said, every way I've been led, I know it's coming to pass.
God's not a man
that he should lie. He is the way, the truth, the life. And if he said it would be, then it is something I'll see. You know it's coming to pass.
One more time. It's coming to pass.
I believe it's coming to pass. Everything that is said, every way I've been led, you know it's coming to pass. Hey, everything that he said, every way I've been led, you know it's coming.
I said it's coming. Turn to somebody, say it's coming. It's coming to pass. I know it's coming to pass.
Woo! I believe it. Anybody else believe it?
We might as well sing it one more time. What you say?
Let's just sing it again. They started again.
I know it's long. Hey, we're going to be out of here in 3 minutes.
Let's confess it again.
Are you ready?
Woo!
Oh, yeah!
I like that beat.
It's coming, coming to pass. I believe it's coming, coming to pass. Everything that He said, every way I've been led, you know it's coming, coming to pass.
Hey, it's coming! It's coming to pass! Everything that He said, every way you've been led, it's coming!
Oh, 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 God's not a man. God's not a man that He should lie, is He? He is the way, the truth, the life. And if He said it would be, then it is something I'll see.
He said it's coming, coming to pass. Somebody sing it with me. Coming to pass.
Everything that He said, every way I've been led, I know it's coming, coming to pass.
Woo!
God's not a man that He should lie.
No, He isn't.
He is the way, the truth, the lie.
Amen.
And if He said it would be,
if He said it would be, it's something you'll see. A little bit in here. Woo! I believe it. There's some dreams coming alive in here.
Woo!
There's some things that have been dead that are being resurrected in here. Hey, coming, coming,
coming to pass.
It'll come to pass.
Coming, coming to pass.
Every way you've been led.
Hey, it's coming, coming, coming to pass.
Woo!
Come on.
God's not a man that He should lie.
Is He?
Uh-uh.
He is the way, the truth, the life. And if He said it would be, then it is something I'll see. You know it's coming, coming to pass. It's coming, coming to pass. I believe it's coming, coming to pass. Everything that He said, every way I've been led, you know it's coming,
coming to pass.
Everything that He said, every way I've been led.
I just keep coming back over here. It's coming to pass. Shout it out. It's coming to pass. All of it.
Hey, I know it's coming to pass.
Woo. We believe it, Lord. We expect it. We're working toward it, making preparation for it, and we're going to give You glory for it. In Jesus' name.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.